Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Glad y'all are here this morning. Welcome to the universe. And God is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of you. He loves you so much that he created all of this for you. So, okay, y'all, why in the world would we do all of this for our children this week? Children don't just need to hear. They don't just need to see. They need to touch and taste. They need to experience the love of God. Y'all, this morning, I hope that's why you're here in this house. To not just, we're going to be talking about, you know, we're doing this how-to series, and we're going to be talking this morning how to be set free. The goal is not for you to hear about or know about freedom. The goal this morning is for the very freedom of God to come in your lives. Lord Jesus, come here this morning. Come here now. Lord, there are all kinds of places and ways and struggles and barriers that are real in every single person's life here this morning. And Jesus, you are a God of liberty. You are a God of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So Lord, may your Spirit be here. May your freedom, your power, your love, your goodness be here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for leading us in worship. Y'all really are out of this world. That was Andy Coward's joke earlier. I got it. Okay. All right, y'all. We are in this as followers of Jesus, as those who are trying to love God. We're always told what to do. But for this summer, I don't know how long, we're going to be talking about how to. Not just what we're supposed to do, but how do we actually do it. So this morning, how to be set free. Hear and receive God's word this morning. This is from Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched this untouchable leper. He reached out and touched the man. "I am willing," Jesus said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cured. Jesus, this morning, we need you to come and set us free. We need you to come and clean us. We need you to come and forgive us. Come and change us. We need you to come and touch us wherever and however we need to be touched. Lord, you know what's going on in our lives. You know what's going on in our families. You know what's going on in our workplace. We invite you to come. Just like you, that leper. Just like you and he had a divine encounter, may there be divine encounters this very morning in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. So in this how-to talk, just a four steps this morning, all right? First step in being set free is awareness. All right. To be set free, we have to realize our need. To be set free, we have to acknowledge that things in our life, right, they're not how they need to be right now. Things in our life are not how they need to be. And we have to recognize, right, that there are places in our lives where we need to be different, where we need to be set free. Y'all, if there's no awareness of need, there's not going to be any change. If we're not willing to like really look in the mirror honestly and realize where we are and where we need to be and see that distance or that dissonance, we will never change. This summer after my freshman year, I was at the Lorenzo baseball fields one Thursday night watching baseball and trying to figure out a way, you know, I was a freshman between freshmen, so I was trying to figure out a way to hold my girlfriend's hand, right? I don't know if that was a big deal. That was hard. I don't know. Anyway, I think eventually she put a penny in her hand and she said, "Hey, grab this." That's how it all started. Anyway. We're at the ball fields watching the baseball, little kids playing, and all of a sudden there was this humongous, horrific crash. Everybody at the ball fields could tell that the wreck was on Highway 82, where Main Street Lorenzo intersected with Highway 82. It was two blocks to the south of the baseball fields and two blocks to the east. And so I ran to see what happened. And when I came around the block, I realized that it was Daddy. If not for the fact that my dad was driving a tank of a car, kind of an old school Cadillac, if not for the fact that the guy in the pickup that hit him was actually driving the speed limit through that caution light, if not for those realities, my daddy would have been killed that night. Now, it seems like an accident like that would have been a good time for my daddy to become aware. It would have been a good time for daddy to actually realize and acknowledge his need, his brokenness, his addiction to alcohol. But unfortunately, such awareness was still years and years to come. Hey, Andy, you know, using porn isn't that big a deal. After all, I'm not hurting anybody. Hey, Andy, I know I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, but you know, we're making it. I mean, paycheck to paycheck, stress to stress, but I think we're going to be okay. Andy, I'll talk to my son when he's willing to admit how wrong and stupid he's been. Andy, my Christianity is doing just fine. I mean, I got Jesus right where I want him. I told Janie that our sermon this morning was how to be set free. And she asked, free from what? Set free from anything that is holding you back from being who God wants you to be. Set free from anything that has become a barrier that is in the way of you getting from where you are to where God longs for you to be, where God created you to be. In the Gospels, we see a fully aware dad bring his son to Jesus because his son is bound by Satan's influence in his life. And we see in the Gospels, we see a fully aware mom come and ask Jesus to bring healing to her daughter because she knows that Jesus is her daughter's only hope. In the Gospels, we see four fully aware friends carry their paralyzed friend to Jesus. He's paralyzed on the outside and he's suffering spiritually on the inside. In the Gospels, we see a fully aware man in the middle of a synagogue, in the middle of a clueless synagogue, we see that man get set free. Now, Andy, you mean demons can be in synagogues, in churches? You mean evil influences can have their way even in folks who supposedly are seeking after Jesus? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying. We in this house need to become aware of the places where we're not free, the places where we are bound. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Or as Greg prays, deliver us from the evil one. Understanding where you are is essential to truly going where you need to be. If you're going to go on a vacation to Colorado this summer, figuring out where you are, where you're starting from, makes all the difference in where you end up. All the difference in where you go. Like, so we're here in Lubbock, we're going to go to Colorado, we go northwest, you know. If we're in Kansas City, we're going to go due west. If we're in Wyoming, we're going to go due south. If we're in California, we're going to come back east. You got to know where you are to be able to get where you need to go. If you're playing baseball, it makes all the difference in the world whether you have a 3-0 count or a 3-2 full count. Just ask Gavin Cash, right? Did y'all see this? Bottom of the eighth inning, the count is 3-2, and he hits a 2-run homer that eventually brings the victory to the Raiders. Woohoo! Right, get your guns up. All right, sorry, don't know why I went there. Anyway, okay. Listen, it made a difference. If it's 3-0, right, and it's the second inning, he's probably watching that pitch. But it's 3-2, it's the bottom of the eighth, and he's swinging away, right? I want to encourage you this morning to step into honest awareness. I want to encourage you to make a true confession about where you are in your relationship with God, about where you are in your relationship with others, about where you are in your own mental, spiritual health. The leper in our passage, man, he's aware. He's very much aware of the forced isolation as a result of his leprosy. He's very much aware of the open sores that are all over his body. He's very much aware of the numbness in his extremities. He's very much aware that he needs to be set free from this disease that is controlling and defining and destroying his life. Any of you have stuff like that? I'm not just talking physical realm. Stuff in your life that is defining, controlling, and destroying your life. This morning, where do you need to be set free? Awareness. Second step in being set free is to have a desire to be different, to have a real readiness and a true hunger for change or for growth or for freedom. If I want to experience change and freedom, I have to believe that the cost of staying where I am is greater than the actual price that I have to pay to change. Does that make sense? In other words, if I know I'm supposed to go over there, I got to understand and believe and desire that where I am is not where I want to be. For example, if I am out of shape, overweight, flunking my annual physical, feeling really yucky most of the time, you know, make no mistake, there's a price that has to be paid to change. There's a price that has to be paid to get off that couch and go walking. There's a price that has to be paid for get up an hour earlier each day to make sure you're prioritizing your health. There's a price that has to be paid when you're sweating in the weight room or when you're aching on that early morning running path or when the price that has to be paid when you don't get to eat that big bowl of Bluebell before you go to bed, right? Therefore, the only way I change is when I understand that the cost of not changing, the cost of staying where I am, is greater than the cost of actually changing. The leper in our passage knows the cost that the journey that he's taking, it will be painful. He knows the cost of the rejection he will experience when he gets around so-called normal people. He knows the cost of risking belief in Jesus if Jesus turns out not to be the answer that he's so desperately longing for. But guess what? For the leper, none of that cost compares to the cost of not being with his family. None of that cost compares to the cost of the excruciating suffering that he's experiencing every single day of his life. He desires his life to be different. What do you desire this morning? Do you want to stay where you are? Because golly, if you do, you will. Do you want your life to be different? Do you want your life to be free from the stuff in your life that's tearing you down? Do you want your life to be free from the stuff in your life that's causing harm to others? Do you want your life to be free from the stuff in your life that has a chokehold of not letting you experience or taste the joy that God wants you to have? Do you have a desire in your life to love and to know and to follow Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? Harriet Tubman's desire for freedom was greater than her fear of slavery and death. Harriet was born into slavery on a Maryland plantation in 1822, and as she grew up, she was made to work driving oxen and trapping muskrats in the woods and serving as a nursemaid. Harriet's owners frequently whipped and beat her. And she endured the even greater pain of seeing three of her sisters sold away, never to be seen again, sold to another owner. When Harriet was about 26 years old, she learned that she too might be sold away from her family. The time had come for her to risk her life to escape, to risk her life for freedom. She made her way some 90 miles along the Underground Railroad. She traveled at night to avoid the slave catchers, following the North Star until she reached Pennsylvania, until she experienced freedom. Once there in Pennsylvania, Harriet dared to make a dangerous decision. She decided she would risk her own freedom in order to give others their freedom. Harriet made 19 trips on that Underground Railroad. She led over 300 slaves to freedom, including several members of her own family. And during these trips, Harriet trusted God to guide and protect her, to be the true liberator. She never once lost a runaway slave. As Harriet later would say herself, she said, "I never ran the train off the track, and I never lost a passenger." But Harriet clearly and intentionally gave all the credit to God, explaining. She said, "'Twant me, 'twas the Lord. I always told him, I trust to you. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do, but I expect you to lead me." And he always did. Step one is awareness that there's stuff in our life that doesn't need to be there. Stuff in our life that we need to be set free from. Step two is that we have a desire for that change and that freedom to come in our lives. Step three of being set free is that you have to come to Jesus. You have to cry out to Jesus. You have to encounter Jesus. You have to surrender to Jesus. The unnamed leper will not be silenced. He will not be kept in prison in this isolated community. He will not be trapped by the rules and restrictions, the conformity and customs of his current culture. The leper will not be deterred or denied from going all the way to Jesus. Y'all know he wasn't supposed to be there, right? You know the clean didn't mix with the unclean. But that's what you got to do. You got to go to Jesus. No matter what the cost. That's how it was for the woman who'd been suffering. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, and she came to where Jesus was, and all these people were crowded around him, and she couldn't get to him. And the only way she could get to him was to get down in the dirt, and she crawled, and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. For 12 years she had bled. For 12 years she'd spent all the money she had. If I could just touch him, I will be whole. I will be healed. And she reached out, and she touched those tassels on his robe, and as soon as she did, she was healed. Dirt, crawling, not worried about what anybody else thought. I just got to touch Jesus. And that's how it was for old Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. This is the week right before Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, the last week of Jesus' life. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that's the son of Timaeus, we'll call him Bart. Bart was sitting by the roadside begging. He was just trying to get enough money for today to get him to tomorrow. He was just trying to get enough money so he could go home and have something eaten and come back and beg all over again. But when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him. They shushed him. They told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you." You love that 1 minute they're rebuking him, the next minute they're bringing him. "On your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Y'all, when are we ever going to get that desperate for Jesus that nothing is going to stop us? When are we going to stop being so distracted by all the distractions and go full on after him? You know, that's how it is for addiction. Check out the first three steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. We admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That's awareness. Got a problem I can't fix. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We began to have a desire for something more. You know, we weren't just saying, "Ouch, it hurts." We were saying, "Help." And then third, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him, to Jesus. We surrender. We encounter, we experience His provision, His deliverance, His freedom. Last this morning, fourth and critical step in being set free is to absolutely, positively make sure that you are bringing your need and your bondage and your brokenness and your chains to a willing and powerful deliverer, i.e. Jesus. We're not going to Jesus thinking that He can't. We're going to Jesus knowing that He can. I love Mark 1:41. This is from the message. 40:41. This is from the message. A leper came to Him, begging on his knees. He says, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Verse 41. Deeply moved, filled with compassion, Jesus put out His hand and He touched him, and He said, "I want to." He's willing. I want to be clean. I love the translation I grew up on, Phillips' translation. He says, "Of course I'm willing. Be clean." We have a God of deliverance, a God of liberty, a God of freedom. And guess what? He wants you to have that freedom. He came that you might have life, and life abundantly, life to the full. There's a new song by Brandon Lake and Cody Carnes. It's entitled "Too Good to Not Believe." And I'm sorry, I had a pick, but I didn't put it in there, Kenna. And if we had 10 minutes, we could listen to that whole music video. It's powerful. It's called "Too Good Not to Believe." Y'all go watch it later. Here are just a few of the lyrics from that song. He says this in the song: "I've lived stories that have proved Your faithfulness. I've seen miracles that my mind can't comprehend. And there is a beauty in what I can't understand, because it's You, Jesus. It's You. You're that beauty. I believe You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, they're just too good to not believe. And I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of Your name can raise the dead. All glory to the only one who can. You're it, Jesus. Jesus, it's You. You're too good to not believe." And so then there are just these four stanzas in the song. If you listen to Christian radio, I know you've heard it. It says, "We've seen cancer disappear. We've seen broken bodies healed. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals come home. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. We've seen troubled souls delivered. We've seen addicts finally freed. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. We have a God. All right, Lord Jesus, He is here, and He is willing, and He is powerful. He is all willing and all powerful to set you free." When Jesus taught us to pray, He taught us to begin our time in prayer, our time with Him, by focusing on the very character of God, that He is Father. He is our Father, right? Who art in heaven. Hallowed, holy be His name. When we think about the character of God, we know that God is good. When we think about the character of God, we know that God is loving. We know that God is all-powerful. And this morning, let's be real clear in affirming that we know that God is a deliverer, that God is a freer, that God is the God, the God, the one and only God of true freedom. So I'm going to close this morning with a little testimony service from across human history. A little testimony time about God, our deliverer. Now, I'm not sure if there's anybody that can testify that God is a God of deliverance, but somebody can tell us how God is a God who sets the captives free. And so, how about you, Moses? Moses, what do you have to say? I say that God is a God who sets His people free. What about you, Brother Daniel? Can you tell us anything about the delivering power of God? Yes, my friends, I tell you that I know a God that delivers me from the jaws of the lions. Anybody else? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, y'all here? Yes, we know the God that delivers from the furious fiery furnace. He's the one who was not just, didn't just set us free from the fire. He was the one with us in the fire. Is there anybody else that can testify to God's delivering power? Yes, I see that hand, David. I know a God who delivers from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. I know a God who delivered me from the hatred and venom of a giant named Goliath. Here's the song I wrote from Psalm 18. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me, but they were not too strong for him. Well, y'all got, we're having testimony, right? Anybody else? Paul, you here? What about you? Well, I was on the road to Damascus, and I was going to bring harm and persecution and arrest and even death to the followers of the way. And then I had a face-to-face encounter with the risen Jesus, and he knocked me, the light of his glory, knocked me off my horse and blinded me. They led me by hand into Damascus, and when I was there, a servant named Ananias came, and he laid his hands upon me, and he prayed for me, and the scales fell from my eyes, and the Holy Spirit fell from heaven and filled my soul. Amazing grace. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was wretched. The amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Not just the song we sang a while ago, not just the song you sing in church. It was my song. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He set me free. We got time for one more testimony. How about Peter? You got something? Okay, you go ahead. Yeah, I want to give our God of liberty great praise, for he delivered me. He set me free from a death sentence. In the belly of the jail, my chains fell off. He opened the doors. I rose, went forth, and followed him to freedom. He set me free. What about in God's house this morning? Is there anyone here today that can tell the story of God's delivering power in your life? Is there anyone here who knows what it is to be bound and be set free? Anyone here who knows what it is to be sick and then to be healed by the great physician? Is there anybody here who knows what it is to be driven by unclean lust and desires, but now you have been set free to live a pure and holy life, trusting in Jesus? Is there anybody here that's been set free from the chains of bitterness and unforgiveness? Lord, this morning, come. We hear, we believe your word. Jesus, John 8:36, we know what you said. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Lord, this morning, we're coming to a table of grace and a table of freedom. And we remember that on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread. You gave thanks to your Father. You broke the bread and you said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." And we remember that you also took the cup and you gave thanks to your Father. You blessed the cup. You said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, right here, right now, we understand that when you died for us, you died to take away our sin. We understand that. But we also understand that Isaiah 53 says that you came carrying our infirmities, our brokenness. That by your stripes we are made whole. That by your blood shed for us, by your sacrifice given for us, we are not just forgiven, we are freed. Freed to joyfully love you, to be in relationship with you. God, this morning, we're praying for forgiveness. We need forgiveness. But Lord, we need freedom. We don't just need forgiveness from our sins. We need freedom from sin. Lord, I pray this morning as we come and we take just this little bread and this little juice into our bodies, that we also open our hearts wide and we invite you to come and break the chains, Jesus. We invite you to come and change our direction. We invite you to come and accept us where we are, but God, free us to be who you're calling us, the sons and the daughters of God you're calling us to be. Come, Lord Jesus. You met the leper on the side of the road. Come and meet us at this altar this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But here's the deal. Once you receive grace, you will long to give it to others. Once you receive His freedom, you will want to let others be free as well. Lord Jesus, this morning, may freedom not just be a topic we talked about in these walls, but may your freedom be a reality for every person here. And that kind of freedom, it's contagious. I pray it brings a fire across our city and our land that will change this world. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. God bless y'all. See y'all. Kids, see y'all tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.